This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt on the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
And a good Saturday morning to everybody out there. It's a chilly Saturday morning.
But the sun is up and shining.
And I had to scrape the, well, I didn't scrape the windshield, actually, no. No. I just let the car warm up.
I was going to say, you gave yourself a 4-inch square and then you drove here. Yeah, I've seen people do that.
And then you get going and go, oh, I shouldn't have done this.
I can't see anything.
I can't say a thing. How's your week been? Good?
Good, really good.
Yeah. I just
winter's coming. Did you notice that?
There's it's on the way.
The little icy crystals.
On the way, Charlie.
Snow here and there.
Oh, Charlie Dobbin, by the way, is sitting in the studio with me.
And Franklin Proctor is sitting in the studio with me.
I am the sous chef of the garden show. And a little note here about the phone numbers. I better get that on right away, okay? Mm-hmm. Folks in the Toronto area, call 416-360-0740. And then anywhere else in the province, it's toll-free 1-866-740-4740. Just want to mention one little thing before we start, okay? Di and I went to a terrific little show, Jingle All the Way at O Canada A in Niagara Falls last Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. And after Jimmy Cooper, who owns the joint there, he introduced us from the stage. It was very nice. But a couple of listeners come up to say hi. So I get this note sent to me via email. Hi, Frank. Nice to meet you. Meet the man behind the voice we listen to on the radio. Hope you enjoyed your time in Niagara and O Canada A. Would you be able to mention our bake sale and soup sale at Drummond Presbyterian Church, Lundy's Lane, Saturday, December 3rd, like today, from 10 to 1? And I'd appreciate it if you do this, maybe even on Charlie's Garden Show. So see,
I guess because so many people listen are hungry with the fans of the show here. So what's that got to do with gardening, Frank?
Well, like soup is made with vegetables and stuff like that, you see. And,
so you say this locally made homegrown soups?
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
You're hoping.
Not hoping
a bunch of Campbell's cans opened up.
And they're using the profits, I would bet, to do something nice with the church. And,
I would hope. Yeah.
Mind you, the casino is awfully close by.
So. Never assume. She doesn't actually tell us what the fundraising is for there.
Donna Peterson got your plug on the air for you.
Yeah, so if you need a bowl of soup, there's something happening right there in Niagara Falls. Okay, a couple other things going on.
Yeah.
Okay, this Thursday. Now, this is going to be quite cool. I actually am planning to attend the Holiday Open House at the Toronto Botanical Gardens. It's from 5:30 to 9:30 p.m., Now, just a note before I get into the details of what's going on at the open house. The parking lot at the Toronto Botanical Gardens is under construction, has been for the last 2 months, and will be for probably the next 6 months. So, very limited parking. You may have to park at the school that is just south of TBG on Leslie. Leslie and Lawrence is the corner where Toronto Botanical Gardens is located. So recognize either get there early or just go to the school to park and then walk over. What's happening, though, is complimentary seasonal treats are going to be available. There will be a silent auction of celebrity-designed fresh wreaths. Sonia Day will be on site. She's the well-known author, speaker, watercolorist, and Toronto Star columnist. She's going to personalize and sign your copy of her latest book called, The Untamed Garden, A Revealing Look at Our Love Affair with Plants.
Uh-huh.
Now, I got this suddenly at 6 o'clock last night. I thought, gosh, I should get Sonia to come on the show. and tell us about her book. She's a great interview. She's very funny. But I couldn't find her last night. So she's not with us today, I'm afraid. But hopefully I can find her and we'll get her on the show next week. She's very good. And this book is all about plants and sex. And so she'll be able to tell us, some real kinky stuff about plants.
Well, our producer's eyes just lit up. David Gaskin
everybody
in there.
Everybody can become a kindergartner.
Give the old thumbs up. Way to go, Charlie. Go for the smut.
Exactly. Also going on Thursday evening at TBG, starting at 7 o'clock, is the final Edwards lecture. The topic is 25 top plants for all season splash. Dan Benarsik is a horticulturalist at the renowned Chanticleer Garden near Philadelphia. So he'll be there to talk about some of the cool plants that they grow and that he loves. Mark your calendars for December the 11th. The Ontario Rock Garden and Hardy Plant Society, they have nonstop meetings, that group. They're presenting Attracting Pollinators to the Garden. They're going to be meeting at 1:30 p.m. at the Toronto Botanical Gardens on the 11th. So I guess that's next Saturday afternoon. Free admission. Everyone is welcome. And so that's a fun thing. So that's all going on. And I got all kinds of emails.
Did you say the 11th? I'm sorry.
I did say the 11th.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
The 10th. Next Saturday is the 10th.
Oh, good point. Sunday. They meet on Sundays. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Keep me straight on my dates there. I know we keep you around for some reason.
You get all excited reading about that sex and the plant thing.
Sex and the plant thing. Okay, Sonia's book here somewhere. All right. Yeah, so the book, as I mentioned, is called The Untamed Garden, A Revealing Look at Our Love Affair with Plants. So, okay, here's some of the things that you'll read about in Sonia's book.
All right.
A luscious-looking rose whose name scandalized the Victorians.
Ooh.
A suggestive plant that caused a Spanish queen to faint at court.
Get for Daniels, you don't say.
The real forbidden fruit, which caused the downfall of Adam and Eve.
Oh, really?
The amazing coco de mer, which resembles the pelvis of a naked woman. The reason why men fall in love with orchids. The night-blooming flower with a scent that turns men on, and love potions and lots more.
David is busy queuing up The Stripper by David Rose as we speak. That sounds
pretty racy. Pretty racy.
Yes,
I'm telling you, that's
yes.
Sonia. She is quite a card. So I've got email and we've got callers and
we should probably move on to our next
stage of the show.
We shall be back and keep in mind the mantra of the show, my friends.
Frons. Like fern.
See,
yep, good.
Thing.
Garden.
Okay. Yeah. Call early, call often. One question per call. Oh, it's going to be a nutty show, I can tell.
You supply the what and where, and she'll come through with the how. You're listening to the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
And Frank Proctor here, letting you know, hey, we've got a couple of lines open at 416-360-0740, or our long-distance line, which is free, of course, 1-866-740-4740. So give a call. If you even have a tip to pass along, we'll take that. Let's say hi to Ines calling in from Scarborough. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Listen, I phoned you once before about a Diplodenia and Mandevilla.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got different instructions what to do and what not to do. Mm. So I still haven't cut it down because it's been growing vigorously.
Oh, yeah, you don't need to cut it down at this time. Sometimes we cut it down just to get it in the house.
Yeah, no. I have them in the house, yeah.
Yep. But sometimes they're so big outside all summer to get it in the door, we have to do some cutting down.
Yeah. But what is the right time to cut it down?
The right time is in March.
In March?
Sure, because that's right now it's going to just kind of slow down. You say it's growing.
Well, it's dropping its leaves.
Yes, and that's because the light levels have dropped dramatically.
Yeah.
And so that's the other reason we do some cutting now, is because it starts looking quite unsightly with all these leaves dropping. We end up with a lot of empty stems. So the timing when you definitely want to cut it back, like at the absolute latest, is March. You may do some cutting before that just for the purposes of, like I say, getting it in the door into
well,
the house.
Like tentacles all
over. Yeah, or it just starts looking so unsightly. Cutting it back seems like a good idea because that freshens it up and it will force some dormant growth out.
And how much can you cut it down?
Well, the most you would cut down at any time is a third. at this time of year, we cut fairly gingerly because the light levels are so low.
Yeah.
The plant is never going to do a lot of vigorous growth at this point. It wants to kind of hunker down and become semi-dormant anyway. So any trimming you're doing now is strictly aesthetic because you're just not going to see a lot of response from the plant. The way in March, if you cut it back, you're going to see a ton of growth after you do that cutting because you're going to force a lot of growth.
Mm-hmm. Because it starts flowering so late, you know?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
That's what you hate doing. You hate cutting the flowers off. That's why we don't want to cut them down now.
Yeah.
So, you know, you really have to, and the really probably most important thing about any of these tropicals that we bring inside in the fall is be very careful with your watering because the lower light levels means that the plant is hunkering down.
I make sure it doesn't drop all the leaves.
That's right. Well, and honestly, sometimes even when they do drop all the leaves, they still stay alive. And again, it's a radical cutback in order to force them out again into some growth in March. So just don't overwater. As it's dropping leaves, it's not using a lot of water. So really, really let it dry down between waterings at this point.
Okay.
Okay.
And you know, a couple of weeks ago, somebody phoned about the lemon tree.
Uh-huh, yep.
Now, I've had a lemon tree here for years, and I get lemons every year.
Neat.
And, you know, she should buy a plant.
Okay, yeah. Rather than try and grow one, you mean?
Yeah, because I have propagated it, like from the cuttings.
Right.
I've grown so many trees and given them away already, you know.
Oh, nice. And you bought that originally as a lemon tree?
Yes.
Yeah, so it was a fruiting tree.
Yes.
That's great. That's a good idea because you're right. Sometimes it's very hard to grow these things from seed and then grow them to be mature enough to actually set fruit is
a
challenge.
I tried first from a seed and nothing happened, you know.
Yeah.
And I bought this one from, I think it was Dominion Seed House because I always ordered seeds from there.
Oh, okay. And you got the little, like it was a little tiny plant. They shipped it to you.
Yes, it was a tiny plant. And I have had many plants now.
Yeah, and I've certainly seen lemons for sale in the spring as a tropical plant to go out into the patio.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And they're quite large. I've seen some really good-sized
trees. Oh, I've been trimming them because I've seen them at the orangeries, you know, down south.
And they're huge.
And so I keep them real low.
Yeah, great.
Hey, that's
good
great.
For you.
Good little tip.
And they're good.
Good. That's good to hear.
Okay.
Thanks
Thank you.
Call.
Have a wonderful day. Thanks for being on The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. I'm Frank Proctor. And next we're going to take a little trip to North York and say hi to Joe. Good morning, Joe.
Hi, Charlie.
Morning.
How are you?
Great.
Good. I have a question about, got a couple of beautiful rosemary plants outside.
Mm-hmm.
They look a little sparkly this morning, but I was wondering how I can get them in and keep them alive and tasting so well.
Yeah, no kidding. Are they in the ground or in pots?
They're in the ground right now.
Well, what you would want to do, well, as I guess you recognize it, those rosemary are going to die if they stay out all winter.
Right.
Honestly, leaving them out just to get that light frost is a very good idea because getting a little bit of light frost on the rosemary before bringing it in does seem to help avoid the mildew problems that are often beset by on the plant once they come into the home. Because that's certainly one of the hardest things about rosemary is keeping it alive indoors and avoiding that powdery mildew growing all over it. So bottom line right now is would be to dig it up. I would probably very carefully try and lift the root ball, doing the minimal root damage to the plant, because that is going to be very shocking if you try and sort of wash off all that mud and set it all up in potting soil. It's going to be a bit tough. So have a pot ready, have some potting soil ready, but try, like I say, and do minimal disruption to the root ball, getting that plant into a pot, a little bit of extra potting soil around it. Bring it into the house. Sunniest location you can give it is the place to be, and water only as necessary. So be careful with the overwatering on it.
Okay. Great.
Okay. But it should be, I find they're a little tricky to keep them alive all winter, but sometimes for me, it's worked really well and I've had no issues. And other times I just watch the rosemary just declines from the minute it comes in. But I have.
As fast as you can.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I did read recently that the idea of that little bit of frost does seem to make a difference in terms of the plant being better when it comes indoors.
Well, maybe it's. I was thinking it's getting dormant or something.
Yeah, or maybe just it knocks the spores into dormancy.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. You know what? I'm not sure. But that, like I say, I read that recently. So let us know how that works. Let us know if that works for you and the plant does survive through the winter.
Okay. And I called you in the summer about my creepy Charlie, and I haven't been able to control it. Is there any way I can get a name and phone number of someone that can come over and take care of that for me? As far as
Well, I can't promote any given lawn care company. It's in your lawn, right? Or is it in the garden? So it's in the lawn. So the bottom line is there are, you know, certainly some great lawn care companies out there. You're in North York. There's some different biological controls that they've got available to them. There's some sort of interesting herbicides that are now available, everything from strong vinegar to high levels of iron to, you know, crazy fungus that kills dandelions. So there's some kind of neat products out there because, of course, we don't use 2,4-D anymore.
Right.
And so that'll be the challenge, is just trying to find the company that's going to work with the product or doing some of it yourself. It sounds like you want to hire somebody.
Yeah.
Talk to your neighbors. Keep an eye out who's in your neighborhood that's already doing weed and lawn care. You've probably seen some.
Right.
And then just either check them out on the web or ask the neighbors who have hired some of these companies for a referral.
Okay.
Okay.
Good idea.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. Take
good
care.
Luck with your creeping Charlie. I hope I have as much luck here in the studio with my creeping Charlie, who's not creeping, by the way, because you take a particular product every day, as do I.
You are so funny.
And, well, I'm just trying to smoothly make
no
a little
creeping
segue to our good word about Sierrasil.
Sierrasil, just like
exactement.
The mountains.
Yes.
Yes. So you're absolutely correct. Thank you for the segue. Sierrasil is a... the Segway, you know, the two-wheeled machine had its 20th anniversary yesterday. Okay, so there's another segue about Segways.
Where did that come from?
Because you said Segway.
Well, okay.
little known facts you might not know or care to know. Sierrasil is a mineral supplement that both Frank and I consume on a daily basis to keep ourselves limber and pain-free. And that's because we are busy people doing all kinds of important things, whether it's gardening or shoveling snow or kickboxing in the case of Frank. I mean, he is just a wild guy when it comes to exercise. Now, you can get Sierrasil, obviously, through their web, sierrasil.ca. You can phone them. They have an easy phone number, which I'll give you in a second, but it's available at more and more health food stores here in Ontario all the time. I was sent a list of some of the new locations. One, for example, is the IDA Pharmacy called Postmaster IDA Pharmacy on Postmaster Drive in Oakville, as well. Heart Lake IDA Drugs in Brampton has Sierrasil on the shelf. The Health Planet stores, which are in five locations, North York, Pickering, Markham, Mississauga, and Scarborough, all have Sierrasil on the shelf. So if that's your easiest way to get a hold of it, check any of those locations or give them a call. 1-877-JOINT-14.
There are hundreds of sources for tips on gardening, but you need only one. The AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin continues.
And Frank Proctor along for the ride here as the sous chef of the Garden Show here at AM 740 Zoomer Radio. And just before we get to our next call, Alice out there in Mississauga, hang on there, Alice, we'll be to you in a moment. But you wanted to deal with an email or two, or at least one anyway.
At least one.
Yeah, at least one.
Why are you pointing at me like that?
Well, I don't know.
Frank, the sous chef of the Garden Show, is directing the Garden Show now. Since I won't let him co-host, now he's going to be the director.
I'm the conductor.
Oh, that. There you go. He's the conductor.
Yeah.
All right. I have an email from Gail Petrie. She spoke with us last Saturday on the subject of a fern. I think what happened was she initially emailed me and said, I have this fern. It's all kind of curly and green. What do I do? And I said, I don't know what kind of fern it is. So then she called. And again, we chatted. Still didn't know what kind of fern. She sent photos.
Uh-huh.
Pictures, absolutely worth a million words. So here we go. Gail, the fern that you were given, that is very beautiful in the pictures, is called a Kimberley Queen fern, is the common name. Proper name is Nephrolepis obliterata.
Good heavenly.
In case you care.
Wow.
The other common name is Australian sword fern, and that's really a good name for it. It's originally from Australia, and it's called a sword fern because it's not like a floppy fern. It's quite rigid. The fronds, you know what a frond is.
Of course.
Oh, frond of mine. The fronds stand quite erect or vertical. And it actually is a nice plant as a vertical element in your room, you know, from a decorator perspective. It's not a soft, billowy, floppy thing. It's quite a nice you know, good-looking plant in the home. Mm-hmm. My point, of course, though, is it is a tropical plant. It is originally from Australia. So to keep that plant happy, Gail, and to keep it alive, you need to provide humidity. Now, our homes are not humid in the wintertime. So you've got to either get a humidifier, you've got to get a tray of pebbles, put some pebbles in that tray, sit the fern on top of the pebbles, keep water in that tray at all times. That will help with your humidity. Or get a spritzer and spritz a couple times a day. It wants to be kept warm during the day, mm-hmm. but it wants to be cool at night. So make sure you're one of those people that drops your thermostat in the evenings when you're going to bed to snuggle under the covers. Anyway, let your home temperature drop. The plant wants cool night temperatures. You know, cool as in 50, 55, 60 kind of temperatures, and regular room temperatures during the day. Bright, indirect light. So it doesn't have to be right in a window, but bright, you know, mm-hmm. southwest, 5-6 feet away from the window, north, right in the window. Keep it away from drafts, no cold drafts, no hot drafts. Watering is evenly moist, but not wet. You never want this plant to be soggy, but you do want to always make sure it's got sort of always has some moisture in the soil. Never let it get to the desert dry conditions we sometimes want our cactuses to get to. Now, one of the reasons you really want to keep this plant alive, and I would highly recommend this plant, is not only is it a beautiful plant from a design perspective in the home, it is one of the best, most excellent plants for reducing indoor air pollutants.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So, as you know, things like formaldehyde, toluene, xylene, things that are come off of our rugs, our dry cleaning, sometimes, you know, not often, but sometimes we have a photocopier in our home. You know what I'm saying? Things that give off some of these horrible gases or off-gassing, even paint, wallpaper, that sort of thing can off-gas. This plant is amazing for just...
keeping the
sucking
air clean.
Up those air pollutants.
Well, I'll be darned.
So highly recommended to try and keep it alive if you can, Gail. So good luck with that.
All righty. Good. Okay, let's move along here to Mississauga and Irene on the line. Good morning, Irene.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to ask Charlie about azalea.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the plant now for 3 years. And... it bloomed only once. I wonder when can I cut it back because it didn't bloom.
So this is an indoor florist azalea, obviously. Something you keep...
No.
Oh.
It is outdoor.
Oh, okay. Good point. All right. So, and it's outside now. This is planted out in your garden.
Yes.
This is what we call a hardy azalea.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So this is a really good question, actually. Azaleas are actually, the proper name of an azalea is a rhododendron. The difference is that a rhododendron that we commonly call a rhododendron has evergreen leaves that stay on it, obviously, year-round. The hardy azaleas, on the other hand, drop their leaves in the fall. They actually have a nice kind of fall color, a purpley fall color, and then they drop all their leaves. So it's a deciduous rhododendron. The flower buds are set in the late summer. So right now... if your azalea is going to bloom next spring, the flower buds will be there right now.
I see.
You would see them on the tips. They're round. They're quite obviously flower buds because they're not elongated. They're quite round buds on the tips. So what do you do to promote? Generally speaking, we don't do a lot of trimming of our azaleas. They don't grow very quickly. But if you find that it's big or ungainly or one-sided or for whatever reason needs to be trimmed, the time to trim is in the spring right after it flowers. If it didn't flower, then, of course, you would just know that it should have bloomed in the early spring and you would do your trimming, yeah, usually early May, mid-May, depending on the kind of spring we're having.
Okay.
And no more trimming after that. You leave it alone all summer.
Okay.
Do fertilize, though, with an acid-loving, like fertilizer for acid-loving plants.
Yes, I did.
Okay. And honestly, I top dress around my azaleas with things like pine needles, and I even add soil acidifier to the soil around my azaleas, just trying to lower that pH. The natural pH is pretty high, and it's in our... world, and so it's hard sometimes to have happy azaleas in our clay-based soils.
I see.
Lots of peat moss.
But Well, thank you very much for your help.
Oh, you're very welcome. Good luck with that. They're beautiful plants.
Yes, they are.
I really like mine.
Have a great day, Irene, and thanks for joining us here in the Garden Show from AM 740 Zoomer Radio in Toronto. I'm ready to welcome Alice to the line. Good morning, Alice.
Oh.
Hello, Alice.
Oh. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, Alice.
Good morning. How are you this beautiful sunny day?
Great.
Great.
So?
What's your question?
The question. I have a poinsettia double plant that was given to me last November. It's bloomed and bloomed and bloomed. And then the leaves fell off. So I transplanted this. It's on my balcony. I have nowhere to put it. No basement. We're in seniors. What can I do? It's like three little trees now.
Oh, lovely. Does it have leaves on it?
No, the leaves are just fell off.
Okay, so and is it outside on the balcony and all this cold?
That's right.
Okay.
I have nowhere to put it, so do you want me to throw it away? Or
maybe. It might be good to just throw it away and start fresh with a new one. The trick with poinsettia...
I couldn't plant in the garden downstairs, no?
No, it's a tropical plant.
Yeah.
It will not survive the winter outdoors.
Well.
Poinsettia originally come from Mexico, and of course they're big monster trees in Mexico, so they get really, really big. But we have the little plants that get the colorful leaves on them at this time of year, and of course that's all because of light. As the days get shorter and the nights get longer, that's what initiates the colorful leaves on the poinsettia. If it has the plants have no leaves on them now, I would look for the composter and pop them in there and get yourself a nice fresh one. It's a perfect time of year.
Somebody's coming from the States and he always brings me one, so he's bringing me a new one.
Oh, perfect. There you go.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Have a nice day and a nice Christmas.
You too.
And the same to you. Yeah, we're really getting into the Christmas mode here for sure. Let's see. Virginia from Bolton is on the line. What's this? A hot pepper plant with bugs. Good heavenly days. What's going on there? Hi, Virginia.
Oh, hi.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Great, thank you.
That's good. The reason I'm calling, I have I brought in a hot pepper plant from the garden because my husband, he likes to have peppers.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes to pick them up fresh from the plant.
Yeah.
But every time, like even last year, when I bring it in, it gets all these little white little flies around in it, and then usually dies.
Mm-hmm. It's hard sometimes to bring plants inside from the garden. It could be that you've got actual white fly, but probably not. It's probably a little tiny, it's called a leaf hopper, and they're pale, pale green. They almost look white. Or are the little bugs truly pure white?
Well, not exactly pure white.
Yeah.
They're just little plant bugs.
Little plant bugs, exactly. All right, so here's a couple things you can do to try and control this problem. Do you have any other plants in the house? Like, this plant should be isolated.
I do. Oh. I do. I have a lemon plant. I have quite a few plants.
Okay, so I would, number one, have this plant in quarantine from the other plants so that the bugs that are on the hot pepper plant will not hop over onto your other indoor plants. So if you have a separate room or place you can isolate, that would be good.
Okay, does it want lots of light? It does.
Well, see, when we bring plants indoors from outdoors, the light level is dramatically different indoors, even if the plant is right in the window. And one of the things I like to do is I like to prepare the plant for coming inside by I'm sure you had that hot pepper in a sunny spot outside.
Of course, yeah.
Because it needed lots of sun. But now to bring it indoors, I would have tried to move it into some shadier location outdoors for a couple of weeks, preferably, before bringing it indoors, just because it is very shocking to go from the bright light outdoors and the low light indoors. It's nice to have that in-between stage if you can. So maybe next year, think about that as just to help with that transition indoors. For now, obviously, you want it in the brightest possible spot you've got in the home. And to try and lower the bug possibilities or the bug problem, two things. One is soap, a soap solution, whether it's Safer Soap or Scott's makes a soap solution, which you will spray.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, the spray has to contact the bugs. So you have to sneak up on the plant because the bugs will fly and jump as soon as they recognize the spray is coming.
So exactly.
You have to sneak up really quietly and get ready. And you're going to spray from underneath because the bugs are on the underside of the leaves.
Yes.
And so it's a spray up. Now, for the spray purpose, you might want to be in a place like the bathroom or a place where a little overspray of soap isn't going to be a problem, like, you know, in the bathtub or something. So yeah. You might want to move the plant, let it sit for an hour or two, and then sneak up and do the spraying. Then, of course, wash the soap off a half an hour later, just with clear water, clear mist. And the sticky sticks that I've referred to on the show in the past, it's spelled, you know, sticky and then S-T-I-X. Mm-hmm. Little yellow strips of sticky plastic that can be suspended around the plant, basically suspended on little pegs in the soil, they will grab some of those bugs as well. And the bugs can't get away once they touch.
Where do I get that?
Any garden center will have. And I think you'll find even some of the Walmarts, anybody who's got a little plant section, Canadian Tire, those kind of stores.
Okay.
They all have like a little plant section where they have potting soil and perhaps some safer, you know, they have the soap solutions and the fertilizers. You'll find sticky sticks in the same situation.
That's good.
Okay. I would try both those things to try and lower the bug population. And you will have to spray more than once because eggs will hatch. And so every 7 days, you'll probably have to spray 3 times.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Good luck with that.
Great mental picture, Virginia, of you sneaking up on that plant with some music in the background. Dun, 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 dun. Okay.
It's true. You could do that.
Yeah. Well, I better give those phone numbers one more time. Mm-hmm. For Toronto, 416-360-0740. And then anywhere else in the province, it's toll-free, 1-866-740-4740.
So, and I have a quick email I just want to share with you. This is from Marilyn Huziak in Keswick. She's responding to the caller we had last week who had snapdragons. Mm-hmm. And the caller was wondering, you know, would the snapdragons come back and what should she do to try and ensure that they survived? And I said the snapdragons would die. It's the seeds that survive. Mm-hmm. Well, Marilyn slaps me around, and actually she has a good point. And probably I wasn't really thinking that through. Marilyn insists, who lives in Keswick, that her snapdragons have survived, that they've acted mm-hmm. like a perennial plant. So her point was maybe our caller last week should not pull up the snapdragons as I suggested, because the actual plant might survive as they have in Marilyn's garden. But what she could do is where the flowers were, the plant all turns brown and there's like a little, the flower petals, of course, disappear. Mm-hmm. But what's left behind is a little seed pod. And inside that little pod is full of little tiny black seeds. So Marilyn's point was maybe our caller should put her hand, you know, beneath one of those little fruit pods, shake around, some seeds will drop out. Mm-hmm. Take those seeds, go to the area in the garden where she wants the snapdragons to grow, and just scatter those on the ground for next year, because it was a front yard, backyard question. She was wanting to get those snapdragons growing in the back. So Marilyn said, leave the snapdragons. Don't pull them up because they could survive. Just take some seeds to the other part of the garden and try and spread them around that way, which is a good point. So just thanks so much for that, Marilyn. Well, and because I said pull it up and take the whole plant. But
you know, what's neat about the show, your show, Charlie, is the fact that the listeners call in with comments about calls that they've heard and such. And we're going to have to take a little break here. But we have, Neville, who has a comment on the pepper plant situation we were speaking with another caller about momentarily.
Well, that's what's so fun about gardening, right? There's no one right answer. People love to share, and there's no one right answer. Everybody's got different sort of ideas on what works for them. So I love the feedback. I think we all do.
We're going to hear from Neville in moments here at AM 740's Charlie Dobbin Garden Show after these words.
Friends say she's down to earth, and that's usually where you'll find her. Welcome back to the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
And I'm your sous chef, Frank Proctor.
The conductor of the garden show.
I am the conductor, yes, indeed. Neville in Toronto with a little comment on a problem that one of our listeners had this morning with a pepper plant. Hi, good morning, Neville.
Morning, Charlie. Frank, morning, Charlie.
Morning.
I have a night blooming cereus with a few hot pepper plants in it. I have quite a number of peppers on it. It's also still blossoming. But what I do is when I bring them in, I take them into the shower.
Uh-huh.
And I do that a couple of times.
Okay, good
and
idea.
And they're quite fine.
So you take them into the shower?
Into the shower.
Just for the purposes of cleaning them all off from any of the outdoor bugs and that sort of thing?
Yes.
And also helps with humidity?
Yeah. And what I might do at some time is make the water a little warmer than I normally would.
Oh, okay.
And they're quite fine.
Wow, good idea.
And Neville, I'm asking this question.
Frank's getting a visual
well,
on this.
Yeah, I am, because actually I'm looking at David Gaskin, our producer. I can tell what he's thinking. Are you taking a shower at the same time, Neville?
Yes, when you're... I do. And I pick one plant to go into the shower at the same time.
Very good.
So you and your hot peppers have a shower together.
Well, I call it my sauna.
That's great.
Well, there you go. It's a good idea because all that soap and warm water cleans the plants right up, does, you know, how talk about efficient.
Yeah.
That's like really good.
Well, see, I'm glad I read David Gaskin's face. His eyebrows went up and I thought, I know what he's thinking. Thanks for confirming that,
Oh, I hope
that,
Virginia's
Neville.
Still listening because that Virginia could take her hot pepper plants into the shower,
yeah.
too. There you
okay.
go.
Good Thanks
stuff.
So much,
Thanks,
Neville. Okay, have a great day. 9:44 here at AM 740 is Zoomer Radio, the Garden Show on the air with Charlie Dobbin and Helen in Hamilton, ready to go here. Hi, good morning, Helen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yes, hi, I would like to know what to do with this pot of nice yellow pansies that I have on my back deck. Now, every morning, they're just so beautiful and they've just been looking at me and I just hate to throw them out.
I know.
I wondered if I should bring them in.
Nope.
Last night was a heavy frost and
pansies
the leaves are kind of wilted, but the little pansies are still looking good.
Pansies are very, very cold tolerant. Do you have a little spot in the ground you could pop them into the ground?
Oh, I would love to do that.
Well, there you go. That's what you should do. Before that ground freezes, just get them out of their container, get them into the ground. You know, water once, and they will just keep on perking along. Under the snow, they'll sometimes continue
really?
To bloom. Yeah.
This time of year, I can water them there, like I dig the hole and put water in it?
Yep. Just plant them as you would any plant into the garden. Put them in a spot so that next spring, when the snow melts, there they will be still blooming. And so put them in a spot where you'll see them from your kitchen window or your patio door or whatever, because they'll be blooming early in the season, so you want to see them from indoors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go for
Thank
it.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Pansies are great.
All righty. Sure are.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call, Helen from
You're
Hamilton.
Welcome.
And let's see, we've got Lois on the line from Richmond Hill. Good morning, Lois.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you, Charlie?
Great.
Good. I'm a bit excited, but I phoned earlier about a dwarf hydrangea.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I bought it under, and it was pink.
Yep.
And it was pink for the year I bought it and the year after. And gradually, it's lost all the color from the blooms. And then it doesn't seem to have any flowers. And yet the plant itself is lovely and green and beautiful leaves.
And how long ago did you buy that plant?
Maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay. And... it had pink blooms and hasn't had any in a while. How much? Okay, so I believe what you've got growing there is a hydrangea.
Yes.
It's what they call the mop head. So it's the ones that get the round flowers. If you bought it 5 or 6 years ago, and how tall is it? Maybe a foot and a half tall?
Yes, maybe 2 to 2.5 feet now when the leaves are out.
Okay. Still, it sounds like a plant called the endless, I hope it's an endless summer hydrangea. It may not be, but it probably is. And if it's an endless summer, then it should give you blooms, if not this past year, at least coming, you know, in future years. Actually, right through the summer, it should have blooms on it, pink, round blooms. Unless it wasn't an endless summer and it was just a basic hydrangea macrophylla, and they can be a little tricky to get flowering. That's why they invented the endless summer variety, because they're so much more consistent to flowers.
And microphylla is the norm, is the regular?
Yeah, well, they're all, I should call them macrophylla, which means large leaves, because they do have quite large leaves.
Yes, it does.
What happened is, so I'm just trying to think, it's about 2.5 feet tall, and you got it about 5 years ago. How much light is that plant in?
Well, it's on a west, the west side of the property, But there is a tall fence, and I look at the sun, and it passes over, like maybe 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. to 2:30 p.m., 1 to 2 in the afternoon.
Okay.
Because I know my roses all sort of swing that way, too.
Right. So it's getting a couple hours of sun, then.
Oh, it would be getting sun, although there are a lot of trees around, too.
Yeah, was that, 'cause I was just trying to sort of get a sense of how much sun it's in. Now, it bloomed the first couple of years, so it hasn't bloomed for the last 2 or 3 years, then.
No, it hasn't.
All right,
and
here,
definitely it went down in color as the year went on, as the years went on.
Yeah, it turned paler.
Hmm. That's right.
Okay, so here's what I would suggest you do for next year, next spring. Once all the snow melts and uh-huh. you can get outdoors, you're going to see all those sticks, you know, naked stems sticking uh-huh. up from that plant. They're going to be all kind of brown and crispy.
Uh-huh.
Follow those stems right down until you see some green buds or small green leaves starting to emerge. It uh-huh. will be probably May by the time you're able to do this, uh-huh. little bit of green starting to show. At that point, cut off all the dead and leave the little bits of green and allow that to grow. Uh-huh. At the same time, fertilize the plant with a flowering plant fertilizer, whatever that might be.
Right.
Could be Miracle-Gro, could be whatever, flowering plant fertilizer, and then leave it alone and see what happens.
Okay.
Give me a call next summer if it's not blooming, and we'll get a better sense of exactly what variety you've got going on there, because
okay.
It should bloom.
I don't know if I have the ticket. I went back to where I bought it, but... Mm-hmm. Couldn't get any answers there.
Yeah. Well, it's like I say, I had an old hydrangea, one of the old varieties, and it was quite disappointing because it was one big green shrub with uh-huh. at the most one or two flowers on it. But it was kind of 3 feet tall and 3 feet wide by the time I dug it out and sent it off to the composter in the sky.
Well, I know what you feel like.
Yeah.
I appreciate the green. But anyway, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I'll certainly try that and cut all off the dead till
yep.
I reach some green.
That's
in
right.
May.
And give some fertilizer at the time.
It.
Yep.
And then give us a call next summer.
See next,
how,
yep.
Let us know.
Exactly. Thanks, Lois.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. You
bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Well, there's nothing worse, eh? You have this vision of purchasing a plant that's going to do a certain, you know, give
yeah.
some color,
yeah.
give some texture in an area in your yard, and have it not do that. You know,
yeah.
have it just be a big massive green, when that wasn't the plan.
Not the plan at all. I know what our plan is right now. Are you ready to exercise?
Calisthenics.
Here we go.
Getting ready.
Start doing my
I know.
Push up. Well, I, no, up, down, up, down. My eyelid. I'm just closing my eyes. I start slowly.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're in good shape, Frank. And I think one of the reasons you are in such good shape is because you stay active.
Yes.
And you're able to stay active because you are limber and, you know, your joints aren't all seized up with pain and gnarly arthritic whatevers. You're able to be, you know, doing stuff, and that's great. And I think that the Sierra Sil helps you, and it certainly helps me when I'm sitting at the computer hour after hour and I get up and my knees are killing me. I find Sierra Sil really does alleviate a lot of that pain. It is a mineral. It is a supplement. We take it daily. It is available at several retailers now in Ontario. The Big Carrot is one on Danforth Avenue. Nature's Village on Queen Street South in Streetsville is one of the retailers. Goodness Me Natural Food Markets. There's one in Burlington, Hamilton, and in Waterdown. All of them carry Sierra Sil, or you can get information from their website, sierrasil.ca, or give them a call at 1-877-JOINT-14.
You supply the what and where, and she'll come through with the how. You're listening to the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
And good morning, too, from Frank Proctor, the sous chef of the garden, as we welcome Jacqueline to the line, living in Pickering. Good morning, Jacqueline.
Hi, I'm picturing you with Santa hats on and my rhododendron sitting on your lap, and what gift would you give it for Christmas?
What a nice little picture there.
I'm not very good with rhododendrons. My daughter bought it,
yeah.
and I've had to move it because of a tree mm-hmm. over the summer. And what, it's very leggy.
Mm-hmm.
What can I possibly do for it over the winter? And I know about the, you know, pine bark mm-hmm. or the pine needles. And that.
Yeah.
But what do I do next spring when now it's nice and leggy and mm-hmm. I've got leaves only at the top part?
That's a challenge. Well, I'll tell you, I mean, you may, okay, a couple things to keep in mind. Rhododendrons have very specific needs. We can't just kind of pop them into the garden where we have a spot and need to fill it. Rhododendrons need a spot where they're going to get some sunlight, preferably morning light, or dappled light, so through the leaves of a tree. I find Rhodo's most favorite location is at the base of old evergreens, whether it's old spruce or pine or cedar hedge. Just the natural acid that has been exuded from the roots of the evergreen and the fallen needles, etc., that have acidified the soil a bit, help. But it helps, again, if it's an eastern-facing location, so we're getting that morning light. We've got that nice peaty soil, and the plants are going to do reasonably well. They have to be protected from the wind, because otherwise they just desiccate in the winter. So that's, again, where an eastern location can be effective, because our prevailing winds come from the west. If you don't have that perfect situation, at, like I'm saying, you know, the big old evergreens, the eastern-facing location, then often rhododendrons don't look very good. One option is to just give it up and don't go there. Forget trying to grow rhodos. The other one is to say, okay, you've got it. You've got it in a spot now. You're not going to want to do a lot of pruning next spring. We just don't prune rhododendrons in Ontario. They grow so slowly that we cherish every leaf usually. So your main thing is to try and have it in a situation where it will thrive. And new growth will come on it. For the winter, protect it, obviously, from that sun and that wind. Four stakes in the ground. Four stakes in the ground around the plant, not touching the plant. Burlap around the stakes, again, not touching the plant. A couple handfuls of leaves in on top of that. Let snow fall in on top of that and allow that little structure to sit there all winter. In the spring, take it all apart and fertilize with rhododendron food in an effort to help this plant thrive. Ultimately, like I said, if you don't have the perfect location, it may not truly ever thrive, and you may just say, enough, I can't do this.
Yeah, I've got everything, but I have a bit of wind where they are.
Yeah.
But
It's the winter wind that's the hard wind. So do that burlap staking idea, and that will help it come through winter in better condition.
Well, these are about 3.5 feet high now.
Oh, good.
And where they were, they did bloom beautifully, but they stopped blooming this summer. Could that be because of the heat?
Well, when did you move them?
I moved them, June.
Okay.
So I had no choice.
Right, but they would have bloomed before that.
Yes.
And so what you're saying is right now there's no flower buds on them going in for next spring?
Yes, there is.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. That's what rhododendrons do, right? They bloom in the spring, then the blooms finish, then they're green plants all summer, and they set the flowers in the fall that will open and bloom for us next spring again.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So,
okay.
Not to worry.
It was just because our weather had been so mild.
Oh, yeah. No. I'd actually be happy if the buds are still there and they didn't start to open this fall, because we had a crazy fall. Forsythia were blooming. You know, some magnolias were blooming. Things were getting a bit confused by the weather. So that's great. No, you're in good shape for next spring then.
Okay, so leaves, I know about the pine needles. I put a lot of peat moss in the bed. I fed them the proper food and that, but I didn't know how to winter them where they are now.
So make that protected. Yeah, make that little structure and throw in some leaves in on top.
Oh, Santa, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Jacqueline.
Okay. That's just assuming you've been a good rhodo all season.
Just before we move
Thanks,
on, if we
Jacqueline.
Have time for another caller, I don't know whether we do.
I think we're going to be pushing it there.
Okay, just on our monitor here, David, our producer, has said the best plant in the house that you mentioned, what's the name again? Was it the Australian sword plant, the plant that's so good about removing stuff in the...
For taking away pollution.
Yes.
Australian sword fern.
There you go.
My frond. No, the other common name is Kimberley Queen Fern. So there's two common names.
All right.
And the proper name is Nephrolepis. That's Nephrolepis. Nephrolepis. Obliterata, as in obliterate. Cool, eh?
It certainly impressed me, I'll tell you.
I knew it would.
Latin stuff? Wow.
It's fun. It's all fun. So here's a good picture you can look at. Of course, nobody else can see it because we're on the radio. But this is a photograph of what sparked Sonia Day's reason for writing the book she wrote.
Oh, my goodness me. It's a little picture. It looks like
it's a
bum.
Squash.
Really? It looks...
It's a squash growing in a fence, and it looks like a bum coming through the fence.
Read sexy stuff about plants. We're hopefully maybe have her on for an interview.
I just have to find her. She wasn't home last night, so I'll find her. And we're going to try and get her on for next Saturday.
Oh, that's great.
She's fun.
Sexy plants. I'm just thinking about Adam and Eve. You know the very first.
No, thing I don't.
Adam said to Eve.
No. What's that, Frank?
Well, he said, "You better stand back. I don't know how big this thing's going to get."
Thanks, Frank.
Okay.
And on that note,
maybe we'll be back.
Maybe not. But of course, you'll be back in an hour. What have you got going on? You've got another show happening?
Yeah, I got a lot of neat stuff to talk about and a lot of great music. We're starting to play some Christmas music as well, which is
good.
Really nice.
Well, enjoy the rest of the day.
Thanks
for all your conducting of the show today. Thanks, Dave. You're the best. And we'll see you all next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.